You're listening to the Bathtub Refinishing Podcast. Powered by Bathtub Guys Refinishing. We discuss the refinishing industry, interview owners and operators, and give tips to business owners and entrepreneurs. Now, here's your host, Daniel Montalvo.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Welcome. I am excited to have this episode today. Again, as always, well, as regularly lately, I am on Refinish Bath Solutions as well while recording this. So you guys can watch that live when I record these podcasts. But this one probably isn't going to come out for like a couple of weeks from when the live people are watching it. So I'm going to be addressing a couple topics today, things that I think are interesting to run down. A little bit is going to be kind of hand in hand with the live that I did yesterday. So feel free to skip this part if you saw the live. I have my notes here because I just wanted to make sure that I'm on track with what I'm saying. So the first thing we're going to cover in this episode, obviously, you know, guys, the Bathtub Refinishing podcast is Bathtub Refinishing, but it is also business related stuffs too. So we're going to be going over some of the businessy stuff. Let's first address the Google shutdowns that are going on. I've been seeing this more and more lately, and I wanted to touch base and just let you guys know things that you can do to avoid it happening. So real quick, to run down and I'll elaborate on these things a little bit more. The first thing you want to do is make sure you're using a real address, no PO boxes or virtual offices. I touched on this on yesterday's live, but virtual offices used to be like fine, but now Google is treating that as potential for spam. And so you don't want to use any of that. Two, keep your company information current, website, socials, all of that. Make sure that it's not mixed matched. Make sure that if you rebranded that, it is like, you know, all is updated on your Google My Business profile, that the URL matches, that the information on your website is relevant. And those are all things that you can do to make sure, you know, you're keeping stuff relevant. Number three is going to be, avoiding putting too many edits in one day. This can trigger automatic, you know, flagging from Google system. Four, use your business legal name. If you don't have a fictitious name, like a doing business as DBA, make sure on Google My Business that you put your actual legal name. In some states, it requires that you use LLC at the end of it. If you're an LLC, do that. Make sure your name is correct. Stay active on Google My Business, guys, to avoid getting taken down. Sometimes if an account is dormant and suddenly starts posting, that flags in Google system as a potential issue. So avoid that. Make sure you guys are getting real reviews. I see a lot of people out there who buy reviews. I know a couple people in my area who it's like clear as day are buying reviews because I touched on this yesterday, but their reviews all kind of follow the same formula. And sometimes, I mean, some of them literally even have like, I mean, I guess they're not looking at the reviews, but it literally says like you can customize this review to fit your needs and they click post on that. So they use bot accounts and they bought reviews and it's just not a good practice. It is actually illegal to do that. FCC categorizes that as fake advertising. So if you get caught doing fake reviews, Google will flag your account. Make sure there's no duplicate listings, guys. That's another biggie. If you lost the login to your old Google My Business page, or you can't access the email or the Gmail anymore, try to recover the account. Making a duplicate page can spam it for potential risk, and you could risk getting both accounts taken down. So don't make a new one. Make sure that, you know, if this already happened to you, then I'm going to run down what you do. If you don't make a new one right away, 3 to 10 days, make sure you appeal it with Google. You got to see if it's a soft or hard suspension. Soft suspension usually just goes away on its own. Hard suspension, you need to go through Google's customer service and try to get them to restore the account. There's also, it'll tell you usually what the violation was. And if the violation is incorrect, make sure you stack evidence in favor of that and make sure you submit everything. Make sure it's accurate. Don't rush to it. I know a lot of people freak out when these things happen and kind of are just trying to submit information as soon as possible to try to get their listing back as soon as possible. And while I understand that, just, you know, make sure that everything is accurate so that you don't get permanently locked out trying to appeal. Because sometimes I have seen it happen that they don't let you appeal after you appeal the first time. And again, 3 to 10 business days is what you can expect. So I wanted to run down that real quick. If you guys have any questions about, you know, your Google My Business getting reinstated and stuff, I can try to help to the best of my ability, although I do not work for Google. I have had it happen to me in the past, and I have been able to get my account back. Also, there's other people in the community that have had it too. Marissa from Permaglaze has had it happen to her before, I believe. They deleted reviews from her too at one point. So those are things that I definitely keep in mind. I'd keep in mind if I was you guys, and just making sure that you guys are on top of that with your Google My Business stuff. The shutdowns are crazy. Sometimes it very much happens for no reason. And because Google does not have like a dedicated customer support team that you could just call up or text or chat with on email, it is very hard to get into communication with them. But you can definitely mitigate it if you follow those steps. So into the new stuff for today, guys. I got my notes here. Again, I'm trying to keep these podcasts a little bit more organized just to make sure that, you know, the ebb and flows and I don't linger around too much talking about, you know, stuff, regurgitating the same stuff. So we're going to be talking today about the reasons why a lot of bathtub refinishing companies stay small. And I wanted to talk about this topic because I was having a good conversation with a friend of mine, Indiana Resurfacing, Dustin, really, really cool guy. If you guys don't know him, really, really awesome. We were talking about, you know, like things that happen in business, right? Like, you know, like he was talking about how he broke his leg earlier this year or last year or something like that. And how, you know, he was thankful that he had built a little bit of an operation so that he didn't have to, you know, close shop. And so we want to talk about today is, you know, what happens to your business if you do not scale at all and you are truly a one-man show and the dangers of that. So real quick, I think it's important to run down the reasons that people stay small. I think that number one is they stay small out of fear. I think that's the overarching point. A lot of people, and I'm talking about people who have good businesses with predictable results, and not like if you're just starting out, right? But I'm talking about you have predictable results, you've been in business for years, you know, and you know, sometimes these people sit on 3-5 months of work pre-scheduled. It's absolutely insane. Even if you're sitting on a month ahead of schedule, I think that is a sign that you either need to raise your prices dramatically or you need to start thinking about hiring people. But you know, we're talking about fear overall and how that plays into staying small as a company. You know, what are they fearing though, right? So to get into the root of that, I think most people fear, you know, they fear lost time, number one. So they have this kind of machine that runs a certain way, and a lot of them stack jobs day after day because they are the ones doing the jobs. They know that there's not going to be a delay, or if there is a delay, that they themselves are willing to come in earlier or stay later to fix an issue that there might be with a customer. So they stack jobs accordingly, right? So they have a fresh new job that is worth the day to them every single day. And so they don't want to lose time on the schedule trying to train a newbie and also potentially disrupt the cash flow if the guy has to go back, use material, mess the job up a few times and stuff like that. That is one of the reasons people stay small. We're going to elaborate on that. But well, let's continue on down the list. Another reason is that training is hard. So that kind of ties in with the first point of losing time. Training is hard. So training people takes a long time in traditional bathtub refinishing with spray equipment and all of that. And so what tends to happen is that people, they do not want to put in the effort that it takes to build a technician up to an acceptable result. And so they would rather just stay small and, or, you know, they won't admit it to themselves, but that's why they stay small. Third, I think is an important thing. And also, like I said, it all plays into the fear, you know, wearing too many hats in the business. So not being able to delegate tasks effectively, And so everything in the business relies on you. And if you remove yourself from the business, well, then the business can no longer operate. So out of fear that that happens, you wear too many hats in the business. Let's go through it point by point, guys. So first, we're going to talk about lost time. Guys, look, in the beginning, when you learn how to do this trade, even if you're spraying, like, you know that it takes a lot of screw-ups before you become a good technician. So to expect that you're going to scale without hitting that hurdle again is actually kind of stupid. And it is, you know, definitely something that I think that a lot of you guys just need to get over, especially for the people out there who are booked well enough in advance. I'm talking, like, if you're over a month booked and you have the aspiration and the dream of scaling, you need to bite the bullet and kind of grow a set, you know, grow a pair and just start doing it. You need to start trying. Don't wait around, because at the end of the day, the faster you train them, the faster you get another tech out there, the faster you make more money, the faster you can put more money into ads and scale again. And then every single time you subsequently hire somebody, having the last guy be ready, you don't have to physically train them, number one. And number two, you take less of a financial hit training them because you have a lot of new guys producing out there in the road. So keep that in mind. I think that that is an important point to take note of. Number two is that training is hard, right? That kind of goes into place with everything. It is going to be difficult. You're going to have them mess up in the beginning, but also you might not be a good teacher, right? You might be struggling with the part of teaching people how to do refinishing. And so there are a lot of steps to the process of bathtub refinishing professionally. And so you may not be the right fit to teach them. I think at that point that it is worth looking into other ulterior methods if you are just not confident in your ability. Instead of not training them at all, not scaling, find somebody who can scale, whether it's a tech you already have, or start looking into alternatives. People run schools. George Picot out there, Top Coat, has a really good school for bathtub refinishing. Definitely recommend them. In Orlando, there's Paint and Solutions. They kind of do a lot of the classes for Midwest Chemical. If you're going to be getting into Tubcast stuff, you can come to our facility here in Orlando and train on Tubcast. Or we could do virtual trainings, whatever you want to do. But at the end of the day, if you are not able to train someone, if you just don't explain it well enough, you don't have the patience for it, because training is hard, instead of staying small forever, if you have the want to grow the business, again, I'm talking to a very specific set of people here, go out and get professional training from others. There's other people who are good at training. And so that's not really an excuse to kind of just stay small. And then the last thing is that I wanted to touch on is the wearing too many hats thing. So this is like the overarching point of all this is that, you know, like I talked about before, you are going to hire people. So that's going to be able to make sure that you have more money. More money means more ads mean more people. If you are wearing too many hats in general, all of those things are hindering from growing, right? Because if you're doing the work and booking the job and scheduling the appointment and, you know, you're doing all those things in the business and you're the face of the company and you are the salesperson, you're doing all these things yourself, eventually you're going to hit a point where you just literally cannot keep up. You're going to lose more opportunities than you're going to actually gain. And it might feel good in the moment, but what's really going on is you're putting in 100 hours worth of work for, so you're like, it's like this. This is something that's in a book that I've been reading lately, but essentially you're putting in an effort that is a team effort into one person. So instead of working a 40 hour a week job, you are working 100 hour a week job for probably the same pay, because you're going to limit yourself from growing so much. If you lock yourself into having all these hats as a business owner, right? Sales, doing the work, technician, all of that stuff. How are you going to sit back and think about, in a proper context from the outside looking in, about what your business really needs, right? Being in it every day, you have hours of the day where you cannot concentrate on the business because you need to do the job part of it. You have hours of the business that you have to think about planning the schedule. And then so you can't talk to clients as efficiently. You can't negotiate deals. You can't get back to clients fast enough. And when clients sense that you're disinterested, they become disinterested. There's an old saying that speed sells. And so if you can get to clients quick because you're dedicated to that aspect of business ownership, or you have an individual who you hire to go out and do client outreach when a lead comes in or when a phone call comes in, you are going to be in a lot better and stronger position to position yourself in the premium of your market. You know, here at Bathtub Guys, we've been able to kind of implement a lot of things lately that we wouldn't be able to do if it wasn't for having systems and processes in place for stuff like this. I mentioned it in previous ones, but having our tiered packages, when we have people paying up to $850 for a bathtub refinish because they want the top tier package. If I was knees deep in the nitty gritty of doing the work every day, and I was having to be responsible for every single aspect of the business, I wouldn't have been able to take a back seat and study up on modern business techniques and how to scale and implement those things that are now on path to 5Xing our output here. Sometimes it's not a numbers game as far as having the most technicians. Sometimes it's about being able to implement enough systems and processes that you can take a step back, look at your company objectively as an entire whole, and then determine what holes to fill at that moment, because you can see that maybe you're closing your close rates 25 or 30%. And if you answer the phone, it would just go up 15%. And because now you have that time and you've seen that difference, you can, you know, scale your business better and faster. So those are all things just to keep in mind. I always talk to people about, you know, who want to grow their business, like the importance of systems and processes, something that I implement, my man Danny Garcia implements. And a lot of people, I mean, in business in general, to grow anything that's worth building, you need to have systematic ways to do things, I think. So that's it for that portion of this whole thing. Put this aside over here. So what I got, oh my God, bro, I've had like my eyes been itchy for like a couple of days. I'm reading this book. I'm going to share with you guys. I'm reading actually a couple books, page 25. I remember that. All right, guys. I'm not promoted by them or anything, but I do think that for a lot of people, a lot of my fellow business people, as I kick the camera tripod to the side a little bit here, I think a lot of my business people who are serious about bettering and scaling their business, I cannot recommend these series of books enough. I think that any of you who are serious, and I'll show you, I have the whole set of books here. These are the Alex Hormozi books. This is $100 million leads. Obviously, I showed you $100 million offers and $100 million money models. These books have shifted my perspective as to what is possible in business so much. And I wanted to share that with you guys before I leave you guys for today. But like one of the things that came of this whole thing is I actually saw an Alex Hormozi clip about you know, tiering packages, and if you have a service company, you should, and started following a lot of his stuff more closely. And I had read Money Models a while back, but I was like, you know what, let me catch up on the other things. And it is incredible what, there are things that I kind of already knew. I kind of had like an idea, an outline of these ideas and these principles in business. But what Alex Hormozi does very, very well in the $100 million series is he simplifies it and gives very, very easy, easily digestible, clear-cut ways of implementation on a lot of these ideas. When I was thinking about how can I scale Bathtub Guys or grow Bathtub Guys bigger with what I have without having to add more trucks, more people, and all this stuff. Obviously, the goal is to lead to that, but what can I do with what I have now to maximize what I have now? I started reading Money Models a while back, and naturally how these things are is like you read one book and you get a very, very good idea of a certain aspect of what it is you're trying to aspire to do, but then you start reading the other books to get the full picture. But essentially, when I read $100 million money models, I started thinking to myself, what can I do? How can I model the bathtub refinishing business that has been very cut and dry for a long time into a money model, into essentially a money printing machine? And this is for my business people who own bathtub refinishing companies. If that's not you, I'm sorry that you're in here, but we took a step back and built these refinishing packages where now we're selling the same item, but because of how it's packaged and framed, it's selling for twice as much money. And for those of you who know, we roll everything on with you know, Tubcast here. So we're doing the job quicker, easier, better for the technician. Application is really, really good, guys, and safer, and for way more money than we were before because we implemented this model. So the way that these packages are working right now, and this is something I want to share because I want to update this as I do it, and if any of you guys try it, I'd definitely like to have some insight into how you guys are doing with it. I've put a couple people onto this, but I'm talking about it a little bit more publicly now because I think it is worthwhile if you're serious about your business. Instead of trying to get 5,000 clients, right? How can you get the most out of the 100 that you're getting right now? Well, don't assume, right? Build a money model that allows you to capture every market segment. So what we did at Bathtub Guys was our first option has changed a little bit. It is now the silver package is now your base model. There is no warranty. It is pretty much a paint job. We're going to come in, paint the tub and leave. And that is it. And it's going to be cheap, $399. So $400, right? Just for context, we were charging $500 with a lifetime warranty like just a while ago. The next tier up is gold. Our gold package is $650 for a bathtub with a 5-year warranty. And we include free non-slip, free stripping if it's needed, and free caulking. And that is $650. Whether it needs stripping or not, irrelevant. It includes it. It's free. There's all this free stuff. And what the customer sees when they see that is, oh, look, I'm getting all this free stuff for upgrading. So the actual thing that they're buying is the warranty. And then the other things are free. And when you give people free and they feel like they're getting free, they feel very, very good about the offer. It feels like a better offer. How can I turn down all this free, right? And the same thing is true with the diamond level service. Diamond level service comes with a lifetime warranty. That is what they're buying, right? So it includes lifetime warranty, but you also get free buff and polish next day, free premium silicone next day, and free ceramic coating next day. And we actually write it out like that, free, use the word free. Because when they ask, well, I'm just paying extra for all these things. No. You're paying extra for the warranty, and we throw in all these free things. That is the psychology of how this all works. And when people, like I said, when people feel like they're getting free, they feel like they're getting a better deal. And so what we've seen here is we are selling stuff consistently at like twice what we were charging. And when people go with a gold package, they're getting, we're charging them more for lesser of a warranty than we were just a little while ago. But because it's all in the context of this sales system where they see silver and it's almost like the silver is kind of a decoy. I don't want anybody to buy that, right? It is a cheap service for a cheap customer. The cheap customer, if the avatar is the cheap customer who's flipping their house and doesn't give a damn about the tub or the tub and towel, whatever it is, that is what it's made for. But most of my customers aren't like that. So when they see that, what happens? Their eyes automatically go to gold and diamond because they don't want no warranty. Nobody, like our type of customer, our customer archetype at Bathtub Guys is not the cheap customer. It is the customer who is moderately to high priced. And so they automatically glaze over that and go and start looking at diamond and gold. Most of the time, landing on gold, but being easily upsold into diamond. A lot of the times being diamond customers from the jump, sometimes wanting to find out more about diamond, but then settling for gold because it's out of their price range. But what this system has allowed us to do is kind of gauge and pre-qualify customers without having to ask them and pry them for their budget. So the way we do our sales process now, and I'm just giving you guys the free, you guys can steal this if you want. I know most of you won't, so that's why I don't care about sharing it with you. I know most of you, unfortunately, are just going to shake your fist at the area like, damn, that damn Daniel charging 800 tubs or $800 to roll on tubs. Screw him. And instead, you should kind of be listening to what we're talking about here, but I digress. We have a very simple little graphic that we made that has a breakdown of what comes in silver, what comes in gold, and what comes in diamond. It is the same no matter what service. The prices are not listed on that sheet. This is just a sheet to send to the person who is the prospect and simply ask the question, which one of these packages seems like it'd be best for you? And based off of their response, they are telling you what kind of customer they are, what kind of budget they have. Because realistically, the cheap, cheap, cheap customer that just wants a cheap is going to tell you they want silver. The customer that price is kind of a concern, but they see the value in what you're offering would probably go gold. And then the customer where money is not an object and the outcome is the most important thing, so a near perfect job, is going to be the diamond client, right? Or somebody who values the warranty very high or whatever. And so you are basically pre-qualifying clients, and you're also mentally putting them in buy mode where they, because they have the chance to, before they even saw the number, decide on three of your service options, they are just that much more likely to actually book the job once you send them pricing. Because mentally, they've already prepared themselves to spend more money on gold and diamond. And if they're cheap, your silver package is probably the kind of thing they're looking for. And if, again, if they're cheap on a budget and they see the drastic cost difference and value difference that gold and diamond gets them, it reinforces to them why silver is a good deal, even if it's a little bit more than what they were expecting. If they are the cheap, cheap, cheap client, they're like, well, I mean, $400 is a lot less than $650, and it's way less than $850. So those people even feel like you're speaking to them more directly. It is, dare I say, a genius strategy for business owners out there. And I want to see more people implement it. If you have questions on implementation, these are all things that if you join us here at Refinish Bath Solutions, partnered with the masterminds at Bathtub Guys. I know I'm just messing there, but you know, if you partner with us, man, these are things that we will implement into your business, done for you. And it is just a value add. If you don't want to go through building it all out yourself, planning it out yourself, we can definitely help you with that. But this is something that I think is super, super valuable. And like I said, these books have changed the way we do stuff. This one opened the door. This one and this one, you know, are, they're godsend, man. You guys should definitely read up on them. Audiobooks are like $7. I think it's worth it. And yeah, man, just a ton of value add there and a ton of amazing resources. We've already seen a big turnaround in the business. And so we're going to keep on studying up and how we can improve these things. But I wanted to share it with you guys and let you guys know what's going on out here. It has been incredible. The customer reaction, and customers are happier because nothing is surprising them anymore. That's like the other part of this whole thing, is like the customer who gets a cheap job, they understand for the most part that that's what they asked for. And so if you get a customer who's like, well, man, I really wanted the quality to be better, and they paid for a silver job, then you tell them, well, you chose this job, you chose a job with no warranty. And so I can't give you a gold or diamond level service for this silver price. And so the context matters there. So that is it for now, guys. Thank you guys so much for watching and coming by. Love you all. See you guys soon. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Bathtub Refinishing Podcast. If you liked what you heard, be sure to keep up with the Bathtub Guys on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, or visit bathtubguys.com for more. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.